Be a help to you. The Bible said, and Simon Peter followed Jesus. Well, that sounds pretty good right there. He followed Jesus. And so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. See the difference? Peter followed Jesus, but when Jesus went into the palace, only one disciple went in there with him. But Peter stood at the door without. And then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. So Peter came in, and then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? And he saith, I am not. Wait a minute. Just a few verses ago, Peter was saying, hey, Lord, if everybody else runs and denies you, I won't. I won't do it, right? That's what he said. But now, he's being faced by this damsel, the Bible said, and said, aren't you one of his disciples? He said, no, I'm not. That's kind of where we are today, isn't it? See, it's easy to be a Christian in here, but when you're out there and it may not be popular and someone says, no, aren't you a Christian? You say, no, I'm not. You may not verbally say it, but in your actions, you may say it. And so, verse 18, the servant, an officer, stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews also resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me. What I have said unto them, behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas, the high priest, and Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. And they said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? And he denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, said, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? And Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Let's pray together. Father, help us today. We're all prone like Peter to have good intentions, but Lord, oftentimes we get our focus off of you. And I pray for that one that's walking afar off. There may be one that's not maybe walking afar off, but not as close to you as they should be. And I dare say we could all say that. So smite our hearts today, Lord. Convict us. For one that's not saved, convict them. Show them their need of salvation. Show them how good you are, how much you want to save them today. Meet with us, and may we see you high and lifted up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Think about this. We have studied Peter for the last couple years in the Gospel of John. We've seen how he has grown. We've seen his mistakes. We've seen how he said things that, honestly, we look at and scratch our head and say, how could Peter say that? Well, just a few verses before, Peter says, hey, Lord, Jesus foretells the disciples that they're going to deny him. Basically, they're going to leave and run. And Peter said, Lord, if all the rest of them do, I will not. Now, you know what Peter did right then? He put a target on his back, and he said, I will not. And so anytime we say, this person did this, but I'd never do that, you better be careful, because you are putting that target on your back. We're all prone to sin. We're all prone to wander. We're all prone to say things that we should not say. But I thought about this when I was reading this scripture just a moment ago in verse 23, when that soldier smote him. When that soldier hit Jesus, I don't believe possibly that hurt him near as bad than when the cock crowed and Peter denied him that third time. See, a lot of times we can take some physical pain, but it's that emotional and spiritual pain that lasts and lasts and lasts. Most of us today, as we sit here, can say that someone has turned their back on us. Is there anybody in here that has not had anybody ever turn their back on you? All right, I don't see any hands. Praise God, we're all in the same boat this morning. Is there anybody in here, honestly, that has never turned your back on the Lord? Because that's where Peter was. And so the denial by the disciple, maybe the most popular, maybe the most well-known disciple, this man named Peter, Jesus has been illegally arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was led away and will stand trial for something he didn't even do. He's innocent. And they knew it. And yet they went on with the trial, and so Peter ends up denying the Lord. And how did he get to this point? Peter didn't wake up that morning and say, I'm going to turn my back on Jesus. There was a progression. And I believe this in my heart. If you will get this message this morning, I'm not going to say it's the most important message I've ever preached. It may be. They're all important, aren't they? But I believe this morning we're in a state in our country, in our churches. And I'm not critical because, I can be as much a Peter, Brother Barry, as anybody. But in our churches, we have got a multitude of Peters. As long as it's us and the disciples, we're good, right? But once we get out of the confines of that comfort of other believers, if we're not careful, we turn into a Peter. You can say amen this morning. You're in good company. I mean, this is a danger that we face. We can go from being a John the Beloved to a Peter in a matter of seconds. But it doesn't just happen. There is a progression, and it may be days, it may be hours, it may be minutes, it may be weeks, it may be years. But there is typically a progression that leads to that. There are many ways that we as Christians are doing the same thing as Peter did in our conversation. We talk about the Lord in church. We talk about the Lord when we're around other believers. But all of a sudden, when someone doesn't believe like we believe, we close our mouth, or we start talking the language of the world. In our conduct, we often deny the Lord. We want to live for the Lord in church, but once we get out, we don't want to identify with the Lord. Our conflict with God's will and His Word. We like the Word of God when it says what we want it to say, but then when it turns us wrong, right? When it doesn't sit well with us, we deny the Lord. Our lack of contribution to God's work, we like the blessing God gives us, pouring His blessing on us, but we don't contribute to the work of the Lord. Somewhere, I promise you, all of us fall into one of those categories. Say amen. What leads to these denials of the Lord? It doesn't just happen. There is a progression. So we look at the life of Peter and we see some things. Number one, his sight or his focus was on the wrong thing. It's interesting. I was reading. I like to read this little devotional by Oswald Chambers. And the one this morning is called The Servant's Primary Goal. And it says, we make it our aim. It requires a conscious decision and effort to keep our primary goal constantly in front of us. It means holding ourselves to the highest priority year in and year out, not making our first priority to win souls, or to establish churches, or to have revival. Watch this. But seeking only to be well-pleasing to Him. It is not a lack of spiritual experience that leads to failure, but a lack of working to keep our eyes focused and on the right goal. At least once a week, examine yourself before God to see if your life is measuring up to the standard He has for you. Paul was like a musician who gives no thought to the audience approval. If he can only catch the approval of the conductor. How convicting that was for me this morning, that in all of our efforts to build churches and to win souls and to have bus ministries and to support missionaries, and if we're not careful, it all becomes about our focus is the ministry itself.
And the focus is not on the one we're supposed to be ministering for. Friend, when your focus is off, when your focus is wrong, when you don't have a singular focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, even when your efforts may be valiant, even when your efforts may be right, if your focus is wrong, you can still stray away from God. How does that happen? Matthew 26, verse 33 to 35, another account, the Bible said, Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, that thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Do you notice the word in there? I. Not Lord, I need your help. I can't do it. He said, though everybody else denies you, I will not do it. I will be committed. I will serve God. I will not sin. I will not be bitter. I will not commit adultery. I will read my book. You put in whatever you want to put there. But whenever you start putting the word I in there, you're setting yourself up for failure. Because with that, Peter depended. He depended on self. What are you depending on this morning? Well, I'm going to do better. Peter depended on self. It was about him. I will never do this. I will never deny thee. If everybody else does it, I will not do it. And if you're not careful and I'm not careful, we're doing the same thing. Our motivation is right, but our focus is wrong. My friend, you'll fall without the Lord. You will fall in sin without the Lord. You can accomplish nothing of eternal value without the Lord. You can't be saved without the Lord. You can't live without the Lord. You can't die without the Lord. You cannot do anything without the Lord Jesus Christ. And the quicker we understand this as a church, if we'll get this, our focus will be one mind on the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, He will do great things. We will see revival. We will see souls saved. But it can't be about the ministry. It has to be about the Master. He said, I will. He depended on His strength. Secondly, he did not depend on the Savior. So he depended on self. There's always that contrast. You can either trust the Lord or you can trust yourself, but you can't do both. With Him, all things are possible. With us, nothing's impossible, or nothing is possible of eternal value. See, it encouraged me this morning to see some folks around the altar praying. Because if you want to see the miracles of God, that's what's going to take. If you want to see God save souls, that's what it's going to take. If you want to see God grow a church, that's what it's going to take. Hey, if you want to see anything of eternal value, it's going to come because of our prayer life. Not because of your ability, not because of the singing, not because of the preaching, not because of the Sunday school ministry, my friend. Praise God for all of those things. But see, we've got our focus on all of those things. And this man who preaches revival and this singing group. And I don't want to go to this conference because this guy I never heard of. My friend, what we need is to be searching after the Lord. Brother Mark, not even, we shouldn't even search after revival. What's your focus this morning? Are you focused on your life, your comfort, your success, and trying to put the Lord in there somehow? Or is your focus the Lord Jesus and allowing Him to branch out and affect every one of those areas of life? You're never going to be satisfied. I'm never going to be satisfied until we allow the Lord to be first place. I think Peter's motives were right. I think his desire was right. It's bold, Brother Barry, for him to say, I won't do this. But the problem is the Lord knew what was around the corner. Peter didn't. Hey, he didn't pray, Lord, that with your strength I'll do this. He said, I will never do this. So his sight or his focus was wrong. There's the first step. You get your eyes off of God. Get your eyes off the Lord. I thought about this. Sometimes you've got to put yourself in a different situation. Now watch this. I've heard people say, well, I tell you what, I wish that people would stop moving in the service. Wish they'd quit getting up and going to the bathroom. Well, me too. But I'll tell you this, if you sit here, you won't know who goes to the bathroom back there.
Exactly. Amen.
You know why? What you've done? You've put yourself in a different position. Huh? Your focus is on not who goes to the bathroom. Your focus is on what's going on up here. Make sense? Yeah, but I like the back. Well, praise God for that. But you know what you're going to have to deal with? Distractions. And people say, well, people ought to quit talking in church. I don't disagree with that. I can't focus on what the preacher's saying. You think it's their fault or you think it's your fault? I'll give you an example. You ready? When you go to a restaurant and you sit down at a table and you want to talk to the person across the table, do you stand up in the restaurant and say, hey, everybody shut your mouth. I'm trying to talk here. I can't hear what they're saying. No. You're in tune to what that person's saying, and there can be all this background noise, and you tune it out to hear what they're saying.
Right. Amen.
See, if you are so in tune to all the background noise in life, you're never going to hear the Lord speak. But if you get your focus right, and the only thing you want to do is see Him and hear from Him, it doesn't matter what's going on around you. Hey, man. Now, are you saying, preacher, that people shouldn't pay attention in church? Absolutely not. Listen, I'm going to say this. You ready for this? Might as well ruffle your feathers while I got you here. You shouldn't have your phone out. Young person, put your phone up. Parents, even if you're not their parent, you see a kid with a phone, you ought to reach over and say, hey, put your phone up. Well, they may get offended. Well, if you don't do it, I'm going to get offended. The person next to you is going to get offended. You shouldn't have your phone out. Well, what if somebody calls me? Well, what they do before they had cell phones? They didn't go up and get their pager out and say, well, preacher, I got to go. Someone's paging me. Put the phone up. Don't be distracted. Hey, listen, you shouldn't post on your Instagram, Facebook page before church. Leave it in the car. Amen. Hallelujah. But what if I get an important call? Well, what if you do and that call comes from heaven and you're so in tune to Facebook you can't hear from heaven? Leave the phone in the car. Where's your phone? In my office. Don't get distracted. The reason we don't have church and the reason we don't have revival is because we're not ready to have church when we get here. We're so consumed with our focus on everything else. Get your focus on the Lord. Second thing, he was separated from godly influence. The Bible said in Matthew 26:58, but Peter followed him afar off. See, he was, ready for this? He was too far away from the Word. He followed Jesus afar off. When you get away from this, when you start following afar off, when the Word of God is not important to you, you're going to fall. When your focus is not on Him, this won't be important to you. And when this isn't important to you, you will be, ready for this, a casual follower of Christ. When it is convenient for me, I'll follow Christ. When it's not convenient for me, I'll do what I want to do. Right? When trials come, you ready for this? Oftentimes, we are one tragedy, one trial, one fire away from walking away from Jesus. No, not me, preacher. I love Jesus too much. Not me. There you go, Peter. Hey, just a few hours before, Peter said, "Hey, Lord, not me." Now they go to Gethsemane. Jesus is arrested. Remember, Peter cut the ear off of that servant. "I'll stand up for you." Now when he should stand by him, he's standing behind him afar off. He was too far away from the Word. If you don't let the Word of God have place in your life, you'll drift away. You say, "Well, preacher, how do I do that?" Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Study to show thyself approved. How much should I read? Read as much as you can. As much as you can consume. As much as you can meditate on. What else do I need to do? Be in church. Be in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Bible-teaching church. You need it. I need it. We need to be around the Word of God. And you say, "Well, I don't have to go to church." No, you don't. But what you're doing is you're going down the road to becoming a casual Christian just like Peter. So he's too far away from the Word. And when he was too far away from the Word, it affected his walk. When we get away from the Lord, it leads to spiritual trouble in our walk. He wasn't standing up for the Lord anymore. Matter of fact, the Bible said here in verse 15, Simon Peter followed Jesus. I wish we could stop there, don't you? He followed Jesus. But then we have to go down. The Bible said, but Peter stood at the door without. So he followed Jesus afar off. When Jesus was in that trial room, he stood at the door, probably peeking around the corner. And when things got a little too hot, he said, whoa, now. Self-preservation. Hey, how, Brother Mark, how can I serve God if I'm dead or in prison? I think the Lord will understand if I don't stand up for him in this instance, right? Isn't it amazing what we say the Lord's going to understand? I think the Lord understands I'm only a teenager and, you know, he wouldn't expect me to stand up in school with all the wickedness. Yeah, he would. I think the Lord knows my situation and he wouldn't expect me. You know what happens? You've gotten away from the Word of God. And when you get away from the Word of God, we make excuses for what the Lord will allow in our life. And so it affected his walk. When we get away from the Lord, it leads to spiritual trouble in our walk. He's walking backwards. You realize this morning you're either going forwards or backwards. Here's Peter falling afar off. But if you'll notice in his walk, he stayed outside the door. He got farther away. Before you know it, he's away from the Lord and with the devil's crowd. I'll be 48 years old. I think that's right. 48 years old. Friday. I've been pastoring here for almost 17 years. In my time, I've been in church my whole life. Many of you have. Now tell me I'm wrong. With people that have gotten away from God. Brother Kessler, people that have walked away. You tell me I'm wrong. It starts with an I. Yeah, there you go. It starts with, "I'll never do that." Somebody else leaves, "I'll never do that. I'm too good a Christian," that pride. It starts with that. It continues with getting away from the Word of God. Being separated from godly influence. Getting around the wrong crowd. Listening to the wrong kind of preaching. Can I give you something? You better be real careful when you start allowing preachers and teachers and people to influence your life that is more that they're more concerned with their quotation than they are just giving you the Word of God. Can we just close in prayer? Because some of you have like, look at me like, I'm trying to help you. You know why? Because I'm tired of seeing the carnage. I'm tired of seeing the broken homes. I'm tired of seeing people that used to serve God, now they're on the sideline and they can't figure out what happened. What happens is we start listening to all these voices telling us what we should do and what God will accept instead of listening to the Word of God. I'm not against preachers having a good quote here and there, but it amazes me when their social media is filled up with things that they say that they claim hold of, and there's no Bible and there's no Word of God. Hey, let every man, let God be true and every man a liar. Man's philosophy will lead you down the wrong road. And so it's going to affect his walk. Number three, he situates himself with the enemies of the Lord. John 18:18, the Bible said, the servant, an officer, stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Huh. He compromised his fellowship, watch this, for comfort. He compromised his fellowship. It was cold. So here he is, instead of standing with the Lord, he sees a fire over there, and here's the enemies of the Lord standing over there warming themselves by the fire, and he had a decision to make. You ready for this? Life is full of decisions. If you live your life by principle, help me with it, your decisions are made for you. If you just say, I'm going to stay with Jesus, doesn't matter if it's cold, doesn't matter if he's being talked about, I'm going to stay with him, don't care what it costs, with the help of God, I'm going to walk with God. Then you won't find yourself warming yourself by the devil's fire. But when all you look for is comfort, when things get uncomfortable, I'll go with the flow, then you're going to find yourself in the wrong fellowship. Because the devil will make sure when you're uncomfortable, there will be somebody there to provide you some comfort. You ready for this? Listen closely. Every open door is not opened by God. I've seen a lot of folks mess up. Well, it's an open door. Well, you better be sure it's God opening that door and not the devil, or you kicking it in. Every open door is not opened by God. Well, I feel like I need to go because the door is open. Better be careful. You go through the wrong door, you'll be in a bigger mess than you were. You better stay where you're at. So here's Peter. He's standing outside the door looking in. And then he says, oh, it's getting a little too hot in there. I'm going to get away from the situation. And he gets outside and physically he's cold. And guess what? There's a fire. Isn't it amazing how the devil has somebody when you're hurting that has the words of comfort? Brother Wayne told a phenomenal message on how to stay out of an emotional affair Friday night. And it's amazing, ladies, when you have trouble at home, it's amazing how the devil has that fella at work who just happens to have an understanding about your situation. Oh, if you were my wife, I'd never treat you that way. And you go, oh. Here's somebody who appreciates me. Or fella, you go to work and your wife is not all that she was before you got married. She's not as attractive, and she's kind of let herself go. Two things I'll tell you. One, get your wedding picture out, and then you look in the mirror. You ain't riding no horse modeling for Old Spice either. Hallelujah, amen. Number two, there's going to be somebody, the devil's going to put there and say, oh, if you were my husband, I'd cook and clean and I'd do anything you wanted me to do. And you go, well, that's what I deserve. Whenever there is a coldness, you better just rest assured the devil can put a fire in your path. And so he compromised his fellowship. He was willing to let down his guard, let down his standard, hang around with some people that were unequally yoked, that he couldn't really fellowship with. Watch this, if the Lord was with him. You get away from God and you know what? You'll find yourself in a big mess. You will hang out, date, marry, do things with people that you would never dream of when you get away from God. Here's Peter. I'll never do it, Lord. He's gone from being in the upper room with the Lord. Sharing bread. Fellowshipping. Hey, having revival in the presence of the Lord. To just a few hours later, he's warming himself by the devil's fire with the devil's crowd. That won't happen to me. Okay, Peter. See, there he compromised his fellowship. And then, not only did he compromise his fellowship, it caused him to fall. The Bible says in verse 27, then he denied again, and immediately the cock crew. The very thing that he said he'd never do, he did. Very thing you think you'll never do, you'll do. Let me give you this in closing. It led to spiritual defeat. Matthew 14, verses 66 through 72. Won't even read it all, but I just want to read this to you. The Bible said when they approached Peter, they said, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. The second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. It affected his witness. Hard to witness to people when you're just like they are. Then it affected his worship. He was disappointed in himself. Can I just give me your attention, I'm done. You know why it's hard to come in here a lot of times and worship? Because we've gotten our focus off of the Lord. It's not about the music. It's not about the message. You've gotten your focus off the Lord all week, and you're wanting somebody to pull you out, right? It affects your worship. And so what we've done in Christianity? We've changed what we call worship. Not Lord, change us, right? Not Lord, make a difference in us to where we can get back in your presence. It is, well, since we're all around the fire anyway, let's just change the way we worship. How we worship, what we worship, the music we worship with, we'll just change it all. The problem is, you ready for this? Jesus wasn't by the fire. He didn't change his location to come down where Peter was. He stayed right where he's at, and Peter should have went to where he was at. So he was defeated, he was disappointed, and he wept. See, here's the problem. You know who you are. You come in here and play the game, smile, sing, hallelujah. But Peter knew who he was. He remembered what the Lord told him. He remembered that Jesus said, before the cock crows, you'll deny me three. Not one time, not two times, but three times. Peter said, no, Lord, not one time would I ever do that. He did it three times in a matter of, doesn't say, but probably just a matter of hours. Maybe not even that long, just that quick, Brother Jason. He said, no, no, I don't know him. I'm not a disciple. I'm not a believer. I'm not. And then all of a sudden, the convicting look of Christ. And he remembered. But you know what I'm thankful for? He repented. See, you're not too far gone. All is not lost. You see, if we look to the next book of the Bible, this same Peter God used at Pentecost. It's not over. So I'll leave you with this. One, get your focus on God. Get it on the Lord. Get it off all this. Stop being distracted by everyone else's hypocrisy, because you're not going to stand before God and give an account for them. You'll give an account for you. Number two, if you are away from Jesus, if you're backslid. You say, I'm at church today. I didn't go out to the bars. No, if you're not as close to the Lord as you once were, you're by definition backslidden. Get things right today. And thirdly, if you're not a Christian, if you're not a born-again believer, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not a Peter. You're like that crowd that was by the fire. See, there's got to be some decisions made this morning. When you are approached with the Word of God, you can't do nothing. You have to do something. And this morning, I'm tired of seeing the fallout. I'm tired of seeing people walk away from the Lord. I'm tired of seeing young people that used to be in church and used to be a part of the youth group. And by the way, young people, you can blame your mamas and daddies and your youth leaders, and you can blame everybody else, but at some point in time, you're going to have to take responsibility for you. Well, my mom and daddy were hypocrites. Well, that may work with some people, but if you name the name of Christ, you still have to give an account for you. We have some decisions to make this morning. The denial of the disciple. The denial of the follower of Christ. Now I want you to do this. I want you to look at you. If you had a mirror in front of you right now, would you like what you saw? Spiritually, do you like where you are? If not, why not just change it? Why not just get it right this morning? Why not make a decision for Christ? Let's stand together. Let's stand together all over the auditorium this morning. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. No one's looking around. Thank you for your attention. I'm not the Holy Spirit this morning, but I just believe this. I believe the Lord had this message for this hour, because there is a church full of people that need it, including your pastor. And I tell you what keeps us in our seat. Oftentimes, it's pride. This morning, if you're here and you're not a Christian, you've never received Christ as your Savior, I wonder by an uplifted hand if you'd say, Pastor, that was me. And I want you to pray for me. I don't know that I'd go to heaven if I died this moment. Would you pray for me? Would you just raise your hand, put it right back down real quickly. Is there one? There one, preacher, would you pray for me this morning? Christian friend, will you come and say, Lord, you know what? I've gotten a little bit cold. Hey, maybe you're not by the fire with the rest of them, but maybe you're kind of like Peter was there, you know, where he's just at the door looking in. Maybe you're just a little cold spiritually, and you just need to come and say, Lord, I want to get my focus right this morning. And I know if I try to do it on my own, I'm probably going to fail. And I want you to be so big in my life that all I can see is you. I don't want to see all the hypocrisy. I don't want to see all the junk. I want to see you. And you alone. Will you come? Will you come? Several on the altar now. Why wouldn't you want that? Oh, preacher, I feel like I'm okay. Peter thought he was okay. Well, I'm not like Peter. I mean, I'm not as close to God as I used to be, but I'm not that bad. Well, you're on the road, though. You're heading down that road. Here's the warning signs. We see them. But we're going to go over the cliff. Help us. God, help us.